From the studios of KUSP in Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. Marcia Clark is my guest. A former prosecutor, Marcia Clark is the author of several books, including her memoir, Without a Doubt, and a bunch of exciting mysteries, including her latest, Blood Defense. Marcia Clark, welcome to From the Bookshelf.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Your characters, Rachel Knight and Samantha Brinkman, one's a prosecutor and one's a defense attorney, so obviously they have the law in common with you, and they have each have their personality traits that are kind of similar to yours, according to the portrait of you that you describe so well in Without a Doubt, like the taste in music. They have a habit of being late. One of them is occasionally on television, a talking head, and so on. So you were an actress, or you wanted to be an actress at one time in your life. So are you the actress who plays Rachel and Samantha in your novels?
No, because I'd want somebody better.
I think
I'd get Sarah Paulson.
You think Sarah Paulson is a better Marcia Clark than Marcia Clark?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think she could be a better everything.
Is there a bit of acting in your writing? I mean, did that prepare you for being a novelist?
You know, that's an interesting question. I've never been asked that before. I have to say, you know, in a way it does, because acting is performing, and performing is all about entertaining, and entertaining people is the reason I write books. And so there's an aspect to having, when I was a kid, taken the acting classes and, you know, tried and done that kind of thing, that I think bleeds its way into all of the books, because they are a form of entertainment too.
Well, you had a co-author when you wrote your memoir.
Yes.
And
Teresa Carpenter, she was awesome.
Well, and so, but now you're on your own. So did the experience of writing your memoir, you were thinking, oh, you know, I could do this. Is that how you began? Because you didn't do it right away, and there's quite a few years between.
You're right. It was quite a few years. No, actually, I had wanted to write crime fiction when I was a kid. I loved crime. I was addicted to crime when I was born, and I was making up murder mysteries all over the place from the time I was like four. It was kind of sick. And really, you know, it was.
Yeah.
And so.
So wait a minute. Let me interrupt. Do you think you could, Marcia Clark? Do you think you could commit the perfect murder?
I don't think I would tell you. Who wants to know, Gary?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. So, yeah, so
it was great. It was great. Certain people are still living who would not be. Let's put it that way.
I wonder who. All right.
Who could that be? Who could that be? Anyway, so, you know, I did. But I didn't have any confidence in that being a steady living. Writing novels just didn't strike me as a way to make sure I always got to live indoors. And I like doing that. So I just didn't. I wound up going to law school, and when I wrote the Without a Doubt, the book about the trial, that was an incredibly painful, awful experience, because I had to relive the nightmare. And I don't know, it was wonderful having Teresa. I mean, I had an amazing author, Pulitzer Prize winner. She's brilliant. And writing the book together was such a great experience in terms of seeing what a great writer can do. So she would have me, she arced out the whole book, and then she had me write each chapter, like what happened here, what happened, the Bronco chase, tell me about this. And then she would go run over it and make it great. You know, I just love watching her do what she does, and she's brilliant. But it didn't make me want to write crime fiction.
You already wanted to do that.
I already wanted to do that. So when we finished that book, the writing with her was such a wonderful experience. I said, why don't we write crime fiction? Come on, let's go do it. She goes, no, you go do it. Which I could have taken personally, but she said, you know, no, you can do this. You can write. Go write. And then I didn't for quite some time. But then I wound up working on a television show as a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And the creator of the show asked me to write with her and said, you know, you have a voice. You should do this. And I loved writing scripts. I have to tell you, that is really, really fun, too. And kind of like haiku, because you only have like 55 pages.
Mm-hmm, you're right.
To tell the story, yeah. And I loved it. And after that show went off the air, she and I went out, wrote pilots together, sold a few of them, And then I thought, you know, I always wanted to do this. I always wanted to write crime fiction. I may as well do it now, because otherwise, you know, it's a now or never situation. So I started writing, and that's when I came up with Rachel Knight, the prosecutor.
Right. And you were a prosecutor, so it made sense. I mean, you're writing about something you know.
Yes. But the thing is, that was a good news and bad news story, because it left out a big part of my legal career, which was defense work, because I had been a defense attorney first. And also, it made me, writing Rachel Knight, I had certain constraints, because a prosecutor really has to be fairly ethical on it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're supposed to be, anyway.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know, I really couldn't take very many liberties with her. People associate me with her. I couldn't really go very far off the true story of what a prosecutor would do. So that was a little, there were certain limitations to how far I could go fictionally speaking.
Yeah.
And so after the fourth Rachel Knight book, I thought, you know, I would like to have some fun. And so
gotta,
I decided to, yeah, then so I went to Samantha Brinkman.
So you get to be on the other side.
Yes. Yeah. And it's really, you know, it's a fun, it's really been fun to channel that part of my legal career. And I'm doing defense work now on appeal. I handle criminal court-appointed appeals for the indigent. And so I get to see, you know, I'm doing that kind of work again. It's a whole different mindset and a whole different set of priorities, if you will, as a defense lawyer. And it's been really fun to stretch out and write a character who's much more outside the lines, a lot twisted.
Yeah. Well, yeah, now there are definitely some connections that your fans might see with a famous prosecution case of yours in your new novel, Blood Defense. I mean, there's a double murder.
Yep.
There's a fame. There's a possible corrupt police official.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like you took elements that people would associate with Marsha Clark and you kind of mixed them all up in there.
You know, I guess you could say that, except really
Were you thinking about that or not?
I wasn't. I truly wasn't. Uh-huh. I mean, I always want to show people what it's like to be on the inside of a case that gets notoriety or fame, because those are the cases that tend to be most intriguing. And nowadays, if you have a really high-profile, intriguing case, the media is involved. So that's just an isness. It may not be as crazy as the Simpson case was, but they're going to be involved.
Yeah.
Because now that's our, you know, that's what we do. But in terms of, and I think actually, whether I want to or not, I always wind up incorporating my own life, my experiences as a lawyer, as a person, in every book. I think it's inevitable.
Yeah.
Whether I mean to or not. Sometimes I definitely mean to, and sometimes I definitely don't. So, and it doesn't seem to matter, because it's in there anyway.
It happens anyway. Well, I think people would be surprised if they haven't read your novels, that they're not courtroom dramas, usually.
Yeah.
And they don't have the Earl Stanley Garner kind of, you know, it all happens on the witness stand. That doesn't ever happen in your novels.
No, because I really do want things to be as close to, not necessarily the story as close to real, but the procedure as close to real as it can be, in terms of what would really happen. How would a case be investigated? What would the defense be trying to do? Most of it happens outside the courtroom. Relatively little happens, you know, in real life in the courtroom. You know, those Perry Mason moments are rare. And most people nowadays are too sophisticated for that stuff, you know?
Uh-huh.
If I had people breaking down on the witness stand and, you know, confessing and stuff like that, people would go, what? As if, you know, we're way past that in terms of audience sophistication. And so I never want the audience to come away saying, you know, they can say what they want about, oh, the plot is contrived or whatever. Well, you know, these stories are made up. They have their basis in reality in many aspects of it. But are they pulled out and bigger than life? Of course they are. If they weren't, they'd be boring. You know, if I tell you about the liquor store robbery that went wrong and the clerk got killed, okay, snore.
Right.
I mean, it's bad, but what are you going to say about that, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you need cases that have complexity, and generally speaking, you do have to make some stuff up. But I want it to be as realistic within that boundary as I can be. And so I go into court, but I do it in places where it makes sense, where it would really happen. So in Blood Defense, you see her getting into big fights with a prosecutor in court. In it would. But it's not necessarily a courtroom drama. No, I think that's true. It's really investigation.
I'm Gary Shapiro. This is From the Bookshelf. We're chatting with Marcia Clark. Her latest book, Blood Defense. To what degree is organizing the facts in your mystery novels similar to organizing facts to present to a jury, as you described in Without a Doubt?
Another great question. Damn, Gary. you want to do this for a living. You know, it is similar. It's interesting. I follow in terms of what my procedure is for writing a book. I follow the process I learned in television, which is to write a general outline, kind of synopsis of the story in very broad strokes. Then I break it out into what we call in television a beat sheet, but in book form it's a chapter by chapter breakdown. So chapter one, I have a line, this happens. Chapter two, that happens. And break it out in terms of the action so that I can see what's going on and build it appropriately and make sure I drop in the clues and the characters that need to be dropped in the, you know, so that we don't wind up at the end of the book with somebody falling out of the sky. Who
right, a character you never heard of turns out to
that.
Be, yeah.
Right. I mean, to me, that's just lazy, cheap writing.
Yeah.
You know, that's not fair. And the reader has no fun with that because they never had a chance of trying to figure out who done it. So you want to give them a chance, but you don't want to give them too much because then they're
you don't want them
bored.
To guess it. Right, right.
And that's a bad thing. So, but in preparing a case, you know, you do an outline like that too. What do you want from each witness? You know, what ideally can the witness testify to? And each witness gets his own sheet, and then the overarching case has a general outline so that I can see the entire story the way, you know, the way I would like it to play out. Now, in a book, I get to actually call all the shots. In a courtroom, I don't, because you have a judge, and the judge, and you have a defense attorney, and everybody
right.
kind of gets in your way. That's why it's so much better to write books.
And of course, you've had that infamous experience. And you know, in Without a Doubt, your memoir, you know, you could have just written a memoir of the case, and so many people did, but your memoir is so far-reaching. I mean, it's not just about, you know, I mean, it's continuously about the case, but you also tell so many interesting things about you and your life and your lots of things. What made you decide to do it that way? Was that you or your co-author pushing you?
Neither one. It was the publisher.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? By nature, I'm not that extroverted of a person.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty private. And I never think that my life is interesting or that anyone will be interested. But the publisher felt otherwise. And so...
No, they were right.
Yeah, okay, there you go. That's why we don't trust me, we trust the publisher.
Well, okay, so both Rachel and Samantha and the Marcia Clark of your memoir conceal some pretty significant secrets. Do you think everyone walks around with, like, these major secrets?
I do.
Yeah?
I do. I mean, I think that, not everyone, you can never say all or never and all that stuff always.
Yeah.
But I think all of us, most of us, have some kind of things in our past that we don't like to talk about, prefer not to, and
that have a major impact on who we are?
Sure. I mean, we may not know that they have a major impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on the nature of the event or the trauma or whatever it is. You know, sometimes you know it has a major impact. Sometimes you don't believe it, even if it does. You know, who knows about that? But certainly, I think most of us do have thing. And by the time we reach, you know, even our 30s, we have these emotional scars. Nobody gets away clean, and they have an impact on how we behave, how we view the world, how we interact with other people.
We're talking with former prosecutor, novelist Marcia Clark. I'm Gary Shapiro. This is From the Bookshelf. The settings, the Los Angeles settings, the restaurants, the freeways, they're like characters in your book. Or part, you know, I mean, it's more than just that you're in L.A. I mean, you're really in L.A. Kind of like Raymond Chandler. Were you a fan of his?
Huge. huge, as we say now. I really am. I love him, and I love the atmospheric nature of his writing. You can feel what he describes. You can feel it. You can smell it. You can taste it. I really love that. He's a real idol of mine, as is James Ellroy, James Lee Burke, all of these writers who are so atmospheric, Jim Thompson. You can really feel what they're describing, and they do it in such clean, spare ways. It's really a beautiful experience, and I want to try and bring the reader into my experience that way too. And it takes a few passes to do it. Like in the first iteration of the book, I'm just getting the action down right and trying to put the right people in the scenes and all that stuff. Then I go back, and in the second pass, I start to really think about, how are we feeling? What does it smell like, taste like, you know, here, there, everywhere? Hopefully to give the reader a more complete experience and to give them a sense of L.A., because I think it's always nice, or it is for me anyway, I like to have a sense of where I am in reading a book. Not some authors just don't dig that. They can kind of put you in an everywhere kind of place. But I think it really adds a dimension to give the reader a sense, a real sense, unique sense of where they are.
Well, it's hard to believe that it's been, 20-some years since the O.J. Simpson case. And, I guess to some degree, maybe it seemed like lots of people had forgotten about it. And now there's this television series this season that dramatized the case. So was that renewed attention welcome or unwelcome?
Oh, very unwelcome. Very unwelcome. When I first heard they were going to do this series, I just practically went to bed every night praying it wouldn't happen, praying somehow someone would come to their senses, don't do this. Because that trial, everything about it was a nightmare from start to finish. Awful.
Yeah.
Awful. To watch justice be subverted and watch everyone seem to forget that two innocent people were brutally murdered was just a hideous, awful thing. The one thing that, anyway, Ron and Nicole felt like they were forgotten every single day. And that was extremely painful. So I didn't want to have to relive it. I didn't want it to come back. And I was really afraid that it would be done in a very cheesy, tabloidy way because
it's television.
Yeah, yeah, television. And it's, and it's easy to do it that way.
Yeah.
And then Ryan Murphy signed on, and he has a tendency to want to do shows that are about something. And I thought, that could be good. And then I saw Sarah Paulson was cast to be me, and I thought, wow, that's an honor. She's amazing. And so, but you still don't know. And then I started watching it when it was out. I thought, wow, this is really pretty good. This is really good. And I was really impressed with the way that they had tackled the big issues. They tackled the race issue. They tackled sexism, which I never thought anybody would talk about. And it turned out to be, I thought, the performances were really phenomenal.
It really also seems, and it seems like, if I were Marcia Clark, I might feel kind of vindicated, because it does take, the point of view of yours, of that you present in Without a Doubt, it seems like.
It does seem like it. I mean, in some respects. Were there things that were not right? Sure, of course, I mean, it really is based on a book that is written by a reporter who really didn't know what was happening behind the scenes and got a lot of stuff wrong.
Or at least they said it was based on that book, but maybe it might have to be based on partially on your book as well. They just didn't pay you, Marcia.
Well, I think they had to take some information from there, because there was some stuff that they knew that couldn't be in his book. Couldn't be.
Yeah.
So you're right. They did. And
they owe you money. You better sue them.
You know what? I don't care about the money. Just get it right. Keep the money.
Yeah, well, and it was a pretty good... I was skeptical also, and I thought it was very good. And if it does renew interest to the point where people will read Without a Doubt, I think that would be pretty great. And now you have a new edition of Without a Doubt out there.
Yeah, I do. It's an e-book with a new foreword. And a publisher has already decided to reprint it in hardcover and paperback if you want it, too. So, yeah, Without a Doubt is now accessible in all formats. I feel like a commercial. Never mind.
No, you don't do that. So it was unwelcome, but it's turned out okay.
Yeah, it has. Surprisingly okay. I mean, who knew? Who knew? I have to say, I spent 2 months being stunned every week by, you know, their effort to get things right, their effort to make it a quality performance, and they did.
And the very last shot of the show has a picture of Nicole and Ron, and that,
yes,
that must
I was
have
so
been.
Gratified by that. To show them both, I thought I really appreciated that they did that.
That's the real story.
Mm-hmm, exactly right.
Yeah. So, are you, now that Samantha's here, we won't see Rachel anymore, or they will
well,
will they meet each other? Can there be a
crossover? There could be, right?
Yeah.
It could totally happen. It would be a riot to bang them into each other.
And then one chapter is written by Rachel and one chapter is written by
Samantha. Yeah, go back and forth.
Yeah.
That could be really fun.
That'd be great, yeah.
Really fun. And I would really feel like, you know, kind of multiple personalities
and
don't
who,
be around me during that time.
Your loyalties would be split because I'm sure you love
Jerry.
Yeah.
Right?
Be a hung jury. It has to be a hung, a mistrial.
Yeah. It's kind of like having the angel and the devil one on, you know?
That's the title of your book. That's your title of your book. Mistrial.
Mistrial, exactly. It'd be great. I'm enjoying Samantha right now, though. The second book is already written.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, called Moral Defense, and that will be out in November. And I'm working on the third one now. So I'm with Samantha for a little bit, but I don't believe I should, don't, you know, never say never, and I'm not going to. Because I did love Rachel, and I did enjoy her, and I think your idea of having alternate chapters is hilarious and fun.
All right, well, I'll be watching for that. Well, I hope you'll come back and chat with us again soon when your next one comes out.
I would certainly love to. It's been such a pleasure, Gary. Thank you.
That's all the time we have for this week's From the Bookshelf. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll come back and see us again next week. In the meantime, check out our podcast page at fromthebookshelf.com. You can like us on Facebook. You can subscribe to our podcast at iTunes. I want to thank my guest, Marcia Clark. Her latest book, it's a good one, is called Blood Defense. From the Bookshelf is produced by Francis Venegas. I'm Gary Shapiro. See you next time.